anointing of your Holy Spirit to fall mightily upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. As we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to John chapter 16 and verse 1, page 1148 in the Red Pew Bible. John chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. This latter part of what's known as the discourse, the great discourse in John's gospel, the final discourse according to John, before he went through his passion, death, and resurrection, and ascension. And so we see these very important words that Jesus left with his disciples. And scattered throughout chapters 14, 15, and 16 particularly, we see periodic references that Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit and how when Jesus goes, he's going to send the Holy Spirit to come and be with us. So we're going to talk about how important the Holy Spirit is in the life of the church today and in the lives of us as individuals. And so much of that comes from what John reveals to us in chapters 14 through 16. So here we pick up John chapter 16 and verse 1. Jesus said to his disciples, "I've said all these things to you to keep you from falling away when they put you out of the synagogue. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So today is Pentecost Sunday, Penta meaning 50, 50 days from the day of resurrection. Really a long time for the disciples to have waited for this power. It's been 10 days since Jesus ascended into heaven, so they really felt alone for 10 days. They were afraid, they hid away, they thought that those who killed Jesus were going to come for them as well. So for 10 days they really agonized, but devoted themselves to prayer and more prayer. And more prayer. And so on that 10th day, the fulfillment of the prophet Joel happened when God poured out his Holy Spirit on all flesh. In the Old Testament, we see the Holy Spirit was poured out on particular people for particular reasons. But never did we see where the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon all people and all flesh, at least available to all people and all flesh, as we see on the day of Pentecost. Now, I want to say that it is by faith that we receive the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. This is the basis for the doctrine of the Trinity. We can't invite Jesus into my heart and not have the Holy Spirit. If you have Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit and Jesus, you've got the Father. Okay, we can't have one without the other two. So that's the very essence of the doctrine of the Trinity. So when we believe in Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And yet there is another thing that happened on Pentecost, which is the filling of the Holy Spirit. We know from John's Gospel that the night that Jesus was raised from the dead, that evening he visited the disciples, if you remember that story, and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," because that was the first time when they acknowledged the risen Jesus. And so at that point, they had salvation. They believed in Jesus and they had received the Holy Spirit. But they had not yet received the filling of the Holy Spirit or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which in a number of different instances the scriptures talk about as a separate experience. And in one case with Cornelius, in fact, they were filled with the Holy Spirit first and then they were baptized. So again, we can't put God into a box, but it does seem there is this thing about being filled with the Holy Spirit and the power that comes from that. But before we can even begin to enter into that kind of request and discussion, we need to believe and actually know in our mind and in our hearts that the Holy Spirit of God really does dwell within us. And so I want to ask us this morning, what is the evidence? What is the evidence that the Holy Spirit dwells in me and in you? Well, it's not an easy question, as John chapter 3, verse 8 reveals, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. Remember that story of Nicodemus went to see Jesus at night, and he's talking about being born again, and Nicodemus is like, I can't understand all this. And Jesus said this. He said, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." So this is not an exact science. We can't look at the Holy Spirit and say, "Oh, there it is." In fact, I heard a testimony one time of someone who was praying and very much involved in the Holy Spirit, and they actually had a sense one time that the Holy Spirit was resting on their shoulder. What an experience. They think, "Oh, wow, the Holy Spirit is resting on my shoulder." So he turned to look at the Holy Spirit and poof, it was gone. It seems like the Holy Spirit is kind of bashful, kind of shy. You know, to try to look at him or find him, because the Holy Spirit's primary function is to point us to the Father and to Jesus. That's what the Spirit does. So again, works in indirect ways, but Scripture tells us we are able to see the effect of the Holy Spirit, the works of the Holy Spirit. And so what are the works? What does the Holy Spirit do? Well, the Scriptures reveal a lot about that. Again, chapters 14 through 16, great discourse. Scattered about that is reveals this kind of things. Reveals to us that the Holy Spirit is a helper or counselor. That word is paraclete, which really is hard to define in English. It literally means someone who stands alongside. So you can imagine if we have times of trouble or, you know, we're going to court and we have an attorney, it is the one who stands alongside us, particularly in times of trouble. That's what paraclete means, helper, counselor, one who stands alongside. We're told that he is the Spirit of truth who guides us into all truth. And oh my goodness, do we need that now. So much confusion out there. We need the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where does that truth come from? It is the Holy Spirit who reveals that to us. He dwells in us and will be with us. What an amazing statement. The Holy Spirit of God. That's what we're told. We're told the Holy Spirit will teach us all things and bring to our remembrance all that Jesus has said. The Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance all that Jesus has said. I've heard some people refer to this as canning of the Holy Scriptures. Like canning, you know, you put it away and then when you need it, you open up the can. It's like we have scripture passages and we kind of can them inside, and all of a sudden the time comes up and then the scripture verse just springs into our mind. It's like, oh, so that's it. That's the Holy Spirit. And I want to kind of give a personal testimony, and I hope you understand this is meant to be received in humility, but I know there are times that I say things and people are really impressed. I can just tell people, like, "Boy, that was really wise," or "Boy, that was really insightful," and I'm like, "Yeah." And then it's like this voice says to me, "Hey, that wasn't you." You know, the Holy Spirit said, that was me. You know, so I'm sitting there gloating, and then you kind of get humbled. But it is an amazing thing that even I sometimes say things and I think, "Wow, that was really impressive." Because it didn't come from me, it's come from the Holy Spirit. So if there's times that you say something really impressive to other people, let's remember where it comes from. It comes from the Holy Spirit, it's not from us. And it's important we learn to recognize that voice, because the enemy will also speak to our minds and speak to our hearts. We need to recognize the difference between the Holy Spirit and the enemy. An easy thing, the Holy Spirit's words are always consistent with Holy Scripture. That's the first thing. And the second, the words of the Holy Spirit are always about building up and encouraging, where the words of the enemy are about tearing down and destroying. So that's an easy way for us to distinguish those spontaneous thoughts that come into our mind. But give the credit where the credit is due to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we're told, convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. I know there's sometimes people feel, and this is somewhat controversial, and I could probably devote a whole other sermon to it, but it's really not our place to go around convicting people of sin and telling people, you know, you're doing whatever. Paul very specifically says we're not to judge those who are outside the church. We're judging inside the church, yes, because it's the body of Christ, but those outside the church, what we're meant to do is just bring people to Jesus. Just bring them to Jesus. If they need to be convicted of something in their life, the Holy Spirit will do that. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we try to usurp that. We try to, you know, pound on people and tell them this, that, you know, you need to do that. Just tell them about Jesus. Open their hearts to the Holy Spirit and bring them into that relationship. And the Holy Spirit will convict them if, in fact, they need convicting. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. We're told the Holy Spirit declares to us the things that are to come. Isn't that amazing? What if somebody introduced you to a person and said, by the way, this person's a prophet, and they know the things that are to come? I mean, we hear that periodically, right? You know, things that, oh, on the internet, oh, this prophet so-and-so and is able to foretell the future and is telling, you know, something that's happening. I'm always skeptical of those kinds of things. I don't, you know, deny the gift of prophecy in terms of foretelling. But so many times it's like, oh, you know, a dark time is coming. Really? I knew that. Okay, so it's time, many times general things, but we need to be very cautious. But the Holy Spirit is a person who will reveal to us things that are to come. That's what we're told. Ultimately, the work of the Holy Spirit is to glorify the Father and to glorify Jesus. Holy Spirit is always pointing us to the Father and pointing us to Jesus. Same as we do, the Spirit working in us is to bring people into relationship with Jesus and let them experience and hear from Jesus if they need to do something to change in their life. Well, other things in Scripture tell us other things about the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that we are, quote, sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. That word guarantee or sealing, it's kind of like, here's a piece of heaven, God says. You're not going to experience the fullness until we get there, but I'm going to give you pieces of heaven. And periodically, we're going to just sense in our mind, our heart, a peace that passes understanding, or other things that just make us aware of something that's really coming for us later on. It's going to be really, really good. A particularly beautiful sunrise or sunset, you know, music that's like, you know, beyond description. This is something the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee. It's kind of like in terms of buying a house, it's like earnest money. You know, you put down that money, which basically tells the seller, I really, really want to buy this house. Okay? And that's kind of what God says. I want to give you an inheritance, a guarantee to seal in you that in fact one day you will be in my presence. And I hope we all have that assurance of salvation within us. It comes from the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 10, we're told by Jesus that we should not worry about what we will say when we are called to witness before unbelievers. Jesus is talking to those who eventually were, in fact, brought before kings and princes. And he said, don't worry about what you're going to say. What you are to say will be given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. It's not you who will speak, but the Spirit of your Father who will speak through you. I think there's many times that we kind of worry about that. You know, what would we say if we're encountering, you know, an unbeliever or whatever? Just to trust the Holy Spirit will give us what we need when we need it. Not before, but when we need it. The words will come from the Holy Spirit. Lastly, the Holy Spirit guides us to where we need to go and prevents us from going where we should not go. I believe this is very, very important in the dangerous world in which we live. There's an account in Acts chapter 16 where Paul's out on his missionary journey And he's like, oh, great, we're going to go here. And he says, nope, the Holy Spirit prevented us. Okay, well, we're going to go over here. Nope, Holy Spirit forbid it. And all of a sudden, he sees this vision, Macedonian, guy from Macedonia, say, hey, come over here. And so that's where the Holy Spirit wanted them to go. Now, we have no idea what happened, because later on in those areas, they did receive the word. But for us as well, you know, we're looking at taking a vacation or getting on a plane or whatever. We say, Holy Spirit, is it going to be okay for me to do this? And if we get that kind of, you know, a check in our spirit, you know, people describe that, I kind of check in my spirit. I'm like, you better listen to that. Better listen to that. And so I think it's very, very important that we have that check. And another way I experienced that in my own life is if I'm going out to do errands and I've got to go to, you know, three different places, and I'm like, oh, I think I'll go here. It's like, no, I'm going to go to Ingles first, and then I'll go to the bank. Lo and behold, I walk into Ingles, and there's somebody that I hadn't seen in a while. You know, we enter into conversation, you know, whatever, how you doing, you know, how's, you know, life and so forth. And I'm like, if I'd gone to the bank first, I would have missed that divine encounter. That just fascinates me every time. I'm like, look at that. I was led to meet with somebody else. I think that happens to us all the time. And so I invite you, again, be aware of that and to give the Holy Spirit credit that he will guide us to go where we can go and where we cannot go if we are listening for his voice. If we're listening. Very important part. Well, there's also, I think, personal testimony, the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. Romans chapter 8 tells us that the Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God. Now, I didn't realize this when I first did this, and I won't do it again because I've done it here before. But I've had times where I've just invited people. I said, okay, let's just be quiet. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and to reveal to us who we are. So say, okay, Holy Spirit, please tell us who we are. We say, I am. And what comes to our mind? And I've done this, you know, maybe a handful of times, and like 75% of the people will get the same answer. I am a child of God. That's what comes to people's mind. I don't know if some of you remember that, or even right now it's happening to you. I am, what comes to my mind? A child of God. The Holy Spirit gives witness to our spirit that we are children of God. Isn't that crazy? Amazing, amazing. We are children of God, heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. This is a very important thing too. As I look and see witness around me, when I see people going through particularly difficult suffering, particularly for a long extended period, without, you know, exception, there is a witness of the Holy Spirit working in them. They're saying, yes, it's hard, yes, it's been tough, you know, but you know what? I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in me like I've never had before. Like I never had before. I've shared this story before, but it was actually a pastor that Debbie and I had years ago when we were living up in Maryland. It was a pastor who had a child, a two-year-old, who had an eye disease, and the child was going blind, a two-year-old. I mean, how horrible can it get? And so they prayed and prayed and prayed, you know. And after a couple of years, this went on. And eventually the child was able to get an operation and the child's sight was restored. And of course, they're giving thanks to God and all kinds of praise. But it was years later that he shared a personal testimony. He said, you know, during that time, when we were praying for our son, I think it was, he said, I never felt so close to God as I did during that period. And he said, since then, I've tried to get that same feeling back. And I've not been able to. Isn't that a powerful testimony? God gives us that strength when we need it. He gives us that sense of presence when we need it. And here's someone saying, that time was horrible, it was difficult, but you know what? I never felt so close to God as I did in that time. And I've not been able to get back there. There's something about suffering that kind of weeds away all the stuff, the fluff, right? And brings us into that direct encounter with the risen Christ. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. Another testimony is to the presence of the Holy Spirit is when we have a sense of regret for the things that we've done in our lives. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit who convicts the world of sin, mistakes, problems, challenges, things we've done. When we really feel bad about people we have hurt and mistakes we've made, we must realize that that is the Holy Spirit working in us. I know it can be hard to accept because many times that leads to guilt, but we're not talking about guilt. We're talking about regret of things that have done, opportunities missed, mistakes that were made, people who were hurt. And we have the sensitivity now. It can really grieve our hearts. We're like, oh, I can't believe I did that. But I would ask you, isn't it true to go back and think there was a time in my life I didn't care whether I hurt people or not? I wouldn't be as sensitive to the fact that I did something to somebody years ago. But today, I think back and then what was I thinking? How could I have done such a thing? And I have this regret, not a guilt, but a regret. I believe that sensitivity to the needs and feelings of others is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. So in that sense, we have those deep regrets and like, oh, we need to realize, why do I feel that way? Why do I have that sense? It's because the Holy Spirit is working in me and bringing that to my attention and to my... So I just pray blessing for those people that I've hurt. Can't go back and unfix things, right? Undo them. You pray blessings upon people. But I do believe it's actually the work of the Holy Spirit, because otherwise, there's lots of people out there, they don't care if they hurt people, right? They don't care what they do, all the things. But we do, because the Holy Spirit convicts us and leads us into that time of integrity. So I think that's another example of the Holy Spirit in us. Well, that was not enough for me. All these examples I give you of the Holy Spirit in us, I just need to, you know, this week I'm praying through it and I'm like, you know, God, this isn't, you know, concrete. I want something really concrete, Lord, that I can share with the people and say, no, this is really a way to show that, in fact, the Holy Spirit is working in you. And so I prayed and waited a whole day, which I thought was really good. Usually I waited about an hour. I waited a whole day. I thought, Holy Spirit, please give me what can we really, really know in a simple way than the fact that you are living in us? Isn't there something? We talk about, well, the gifts are manifested, or I have a sense of peace, all that, yes. But isn't there something else? And I prayed for 2 days, waiting for a word from the Holy Spirit. It was finally on the third day I got a word. And not uncommon, when we have a biblical question, where do you get the answer? In the Bible. In the Bible, and this, it came by a verse that came to me, kind of an obscure verse. But it's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, where Paul writes this. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. How many times have we just glossed over that? You realize the meaning of that? No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Wow. I'm like, okay, that's pretty concrete. That's pretty simple. You know, I was hoping for something a lot more extravagant, but he's like, no. If you can say that Jesus is Lord, guess what? That's the Holy Spirit in you. Not something we do. The scholars refer to this as prevenient grace. If we turn to the Lord and say, I desire that God would be my Lord and Savior, do you know where that desire comes from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. God puts that desire in me, because otherwise there is nothing in me that would lead me to even pursue God but the Holy Spirit. So if we come together and we say Jesus is Lord, it's the Holy Spirit that God has put into us to say that. So my brothers and sisters, I want to just say that the Holy Spirit is a person. Don't ever forget that. Talk to him. Cry out to him. Make friends with him. I think it's interesting to see that people are generally inclined towards one of the three persons of the Trinity. Not that we dismiss the others, but generally as people say, well, I just pray to God. That's how I was raised. We just pray to God or Father. And then I came in my life and I kind of was Jesus-centered, Christ-centered. And I started a relationship with Jesus. What does it mean to have a personal relationship with Jesus? But now I find in my life more and more, I'm like, Holy Spirit. You know, I speak to the Holy Spirit, talk to the Holy Spirit, help the Holy Spirit. Help, Holy Spirit, guide me. So I invite you, if that's not something you're normally used to doing, to try and strike up a conversation with the Holy Spirit this week. and see what he can reveal to you, what he can tell you about things to come, where to go, where not to go. Reveal truth to us. Remind us of things that Jesus has said. All these things are of the Holy Spirit. As we see in the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed, the Holy Spirit is worthy of glory and honor and worship just as much as the Father and the Son. He is God. And so we acknowledge that. So my question today, do we believe in the Holy Spirit? I mean, do we really believe in the Holy Spirit? Do we really believe the power, the presence, the peace of the Holy Spirit? I pray that we do. And if we seek him with our hearts, he will find us. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of heaven is upon us. And it's in the Holy Spirit that's upon us and living in us. It's the Holy Spirit that is the guarantee, the down payment of our inheritance. And so because of that, in fact, the best truly is yet to come. Because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Would someone please close us in a prayer?